Welcome back to Dog Show Tips. Some exciting news this week. I'd like to welcome Canine Chronicle TV. So this week on Dog Show Tips, buckle up, we have Michael Faulkner. Brought to you by Canine Chronicle TV and ProPlan, nutrition that performs.
Hi, Michael. It's good to see you.
Thanks for joining us. Likewise, good to see you.
Things are all okay there? Things are well?
Yep, just here holding down the fort at the health clinic and still working away, but it's nice to have a break and talk about mutual passion.
Excellent. I'm glad you could join us. Thank you. Let's get right into it then. How did you get involved in the sport of dogs, Michael?
I was born into the sport and been doing it my entire life, three generations, and started a junior showmanship and worked my way up through.
Okay, and so you obviously, right from the start, you got into our sport. All right. What people influenced you the most, mentors or just people? Didn't that be dog people, anything?
Well, you know, through the course of my involvement in the sport, numerous people have influenced me, but the one significant individual would be Peggy Grayson, and she's 100 years old. She's still alive in an assisted living in England, and she took me under her wing as a youngster and guided me and introduced me to some of the best dog people in England as a kid. And I went to shows, and she mentored me about the essence of type and within the various gun dogs. And you couldn't have asked for a better mentor and upbringing.
Sounds like it. And did you work for handlers as well?
I did off and on part-time, never full-time. And when I had a break from college, I would go on the road with handlers and help them out. But basically I balanced college, going on the weekend, showing my own dogs. And it's funny because when I graduated from graduate school, I was actually assisting a handler down in the shows in Georgia. And they were also handling dogs for my mother. And a field spaniel import that my mother had just sent over was handled by the wife of the handler, the couple that I was working for. And my mother's dog beat this handler's dog in the group, and he had just kicked off Houston Clark with his Springer that was the number one sporting dog in the country. And so my mother's field spaniel won the group. He went second, and he got really pissed and went out of the ring and mumbled under his breath, "Who the F's dog was that anyways?" And I was standing right there, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, "That would be my mother's." And then he got all red in the face and was eating humble pie, and came up later that night and asked me if I wanted to come to his setup and have a drink, and I did. And that established the partnership with my late partner, David White, and we became handlers together.
Excellent.
Yeah, funny story.
Can you name any of the handlers you worked for?
Yeah, well, that was with Bob and Linda Stebbins.
Well, I work for Bobby as well.
I know. Bob was a great guy and a character and extremely creative and talented. And I'm sorry he's not here today. Yeah, and then as a kid, back when Tommy Cohen and Steve Barger handled dogs together, they handled my aunt's dogs. And when I would travel to dog shows with my aunt and uncle, and I would help and run dogs for them, I was a junkie, and I was totally in awe of them and John Buddy at the time. And I loved the whole, that was just my whole life centered around the collie and the Sheltie ring for several years.
So your aunt bred collies then?
Yes, and they actually handled several dogs for my aunt, including a blue merle dog that did a great deal of winning by the name of Champion Briar Hills High Voltage.
Okay, wow. I didn't know your collie background.
So
what's your favorite breed then, Michael?
Well, I still breed, and I've been showing and breeding golden retrievers for over 50 years now. So right at 50 years. So I would have to say that is one of my favorite breeds. And I've bred and exhibited several breeds and specialty and group and best in show winners. But I'm most known for golden retrievers. But I've also bred English Springer Spaniels, pointers, field spaniels, pugs, and then back black and tan coon hounds.
So as a handler or as an owner, what was your favorite win? Do you recall a favorite win?
Wow. I think one of my favorite wins as far as just sheer excitement was back in the heyday when Louisville Kennel Club was black tie and it was the group and best in show judging held in the evening in Freedom Hall. And Annie Clark was the commentator, and it was on USA Network. And I had just come off of my Golden Bitch had just won Best in Show at Detroit the weekend before and defeated over 3,300 dogs. And then the next weekend was the 4 days in Louisville, and she won the group all 4 days and then went Best in Show at Louisville for 5,400 dogs defeated on that day.
Yeah.
So that was pretty exciting. And then, of course, the times that my dogs have won the breed at Westminster and then placed in the groups. That's always exciting. And, you know, seeing your dog win breeds at the national specialties, that's exciting. So there's a lot of them.
Didn't you just have a national breed winner at the Goldens a couple of years ago?
2018. Yeah. And Greenbank and I, who's from Canada, we breed and show together. And it's a young bitch of ours. And she was first time out as a special in the States and wow. On the national. So it was nice.
And nationals are always exciting.
They are, especially with golden retrievers, because it's a long, arduous process to get there from a judging perspective, because there's so many dogs and it takes forever.
For sure. Even just watching them at a regular show seems to take forever.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite dog then? Hard to narrow down sometimes, but.
A favorite dog. I mean, I think that when I think of all the various breeds and, you know, not only from a breeding perspective, but from a judging perspective, one of my all-time favorite dogs was the curly-coated retriever that won the group at Crufts, Daryl and Rifleman. I just thought he was noble and majestic and absolutely captivating. And he sticks in my mind. Golden retrievers would be the Davern Figaro dog. That was also English bred and owned. And they're, I can't remember, Bob Stebbins handled a Irish Wolfhound bitch who did some group winning, but he didn't show her very often. And her name was Fitzaron Celt. And I loved her. And there's so many dogs of various breeds that I admire, you know, and so there are a lot of them. So there's too many.
It's hard to narrow it down for sure.
Yeah.
Give me a skill or talent that you have that most of us wouldn't know.
I'm an artist. I have 4 degrees and one of them is in fine arts. So I paint, I draw, I sculpt, and I have my studio. So that's something that most people don't know. And the other thing is I'm a beekeeper.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that. That's exciting.
Well, it's something 15 years ago, I decided I needed something because I'm very active all the time and I need something to slow just spins and spins. So I, along with a fellow in the community, or he was a retired doctor. And I said, listen, let's go become beekeepers. So we went for our training and our courses every week during the middle of winter. We got certified and we got our hives and the rest is history.
That's amazing. That's an important thing. It really is.
Yeah. It's not easy because, it's hard to keep the hives up and healthy because of all the variables you have to tend to, and you lose quite a few of them, but you plug away.
Wow. That's good work, Michael. Is there a dog from the past that you wish you could have owned or shown?
Wow. Yeah. Good Lord, probably hundreds.
Well, don't give us 100. Give us a few.
Wow. Huh. I'm trying to, one right off the top, I would love to have owned and shown Mystique. I was in competition with her and every time I saw her at the show, even though she beat my Golden more times than I beat her, I think I have the record of the one dog that was able to win more Best in Shows over her at that time. But she was absolutely stunning. And not only was she beautifully presented, but I had a lot of respect for Jane Firestone as a gracious lady and exhibitor. And that just made the dog even more desirable. But she was beautiful.
Yes, really was. Any advice for new handlers, young handlers?
I think don't expect, there's this expectation that things are going to be easy and that everything should be immediate. And I always say, don't expect anything. Expect the only thing to expect is that you go in and do the best possible job that you can do. And based on a rich understanding of what's expected of you. So, and so often people just, go in the ring without the history, without the professionalism or the dedication to really truly understand the people that went before them and to understand what it takes to make it right. And they just walk in with the dog on the end of the leash and expect to win. And that's frustrating. So I always say to new people, go in and do the best job you can. Make sure you do your homework, understand your dog, the people, you understand your clients, understand pedigrees, understand the history of the sport, and go in and do the best possible job. But don't expect anything.
Is there any a moment in the ring, either judging or showing, that was you found too funny that you had to, you couldn't hold it in?
Yeah, several. I mean, the absolute one was Golden Retrievers in Birmingham, Alabama, and Janie Forsythe was judging, and it was hotter than hell, and it was one of those, it was in the farm fair building complex, and we were in one of the side rooms just sweating, and Janie had a big summer skirt on, and of course she was tall, and Charlie Stewart Phippen, she's now a judge, was showing a Golden Retriever in front of me, and Connie Gerstner Miller was behind me, and and I was in front of my Golden. It was in the class's bitch, stacking her up, and then Janie went to the rear of Charlie's bitch to examine her, and she bent over to the rear, and she bent over, she came back up, and my head got caught underneath her skirt. And I had a little trouble trying to get myself out of Janie's skirt, and I was flailing away, and I'm like, oh my God. So I finally got myself released from underneath Janie's skirt, and the ladies were all laughing, but it was pretty embarrassing.
I bet you Janie wasn't embarrassed, though.
No, she wasn't.
No.
But she got even with all of the ladies in the ring that were laughing at me because of that situation, and I ended up winning the class, so that was nice.
That's a good story. What about today's judging? Able to get your judging license now? How do you feel about that procedure? I know it's a tough question, but
I think I'm not about checking boxes, and I think that there really needs to be a process of really understanding and evaluating the person for their history and involvement in the sport. And I'm actually applying for 12 new breeds right now, additional hound breeds. And it's the first time that I've had to go through this process. And it's not fun. And I wish that I could sit in a room and have a conversation about every breed I want to talk to judge and talk about that breed, those breeds. And then put me in a ring with dogs and let me judge them. And if I do a good job, there you go. You get your license. This generic approach, I do not think generates quality judging.
I love that. That was great. I feel the same way. And up here, we're working on interview process as well, where a panel of, I think, four all-rounders will actually interview the individual and discuss their merit, then actually put them in a ring like that. That's a great idea. I think that's just, I really agree with that. I'm not going to go into it myself. How do you feel about the state of our gun dogs in America right now compared to England?
Well, I think that, you know, gun dogs in general, I mean, we have taken form and function and exaggerated and stylized to create, and it's not, I mean, I can make this statement across the board of all gun dogs, you know, to streamline, straighten the fronts, over-angulate the rears, and create dogs that racked and stacked create this exaggerated outline, but they don't have four legs underneath them, and they aren't typical in stature or movement going around the ring that represents a true functioning gun dog.
Is there a breed you enjoy judging the most?
Within gun dogs? No, not really. I love them all. And I think that there's nothing more beautiful than an absolutely stunning pointer. And they're just magnificent. And, you know, that makes my heart skip a beat. And I truly love the nuances of the various Flushing Spaniels. And, you know, I wish they would get their due a little more than they do, other than the English Springer obviously has always been popular, but just, I'm fascinated, and I've always been a student of the details that separate cousins within a family of dogs. And I love that from a judging perspective, to be able to understand and apply that knowledge of, you know, just the work under the eye, the arch over the brow, the differences of the back skull and the foreface, and the make and shape of body proportions and angles that are just ever subtle between cousins, but yet they are paramount in defining breed type.
So do you have in your mind's eye, when you're looking at certain breeds, you have that one individual that's in your mind's eye that you compare these dogs?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that you brought that up, because as a youngster, when I was with Peggy and another mentor of mine, I was in my teens. And back then, the Russian Tsarina was still at her establishment, and she married into English royalty. And there was a gentleman, Bill Garrett, who was the gamekeeper, and he was the master of the flat-coated retriever. And he took me to the kennel, and he called me Young Michael. And he said, I want you to, he took me to all of these flat-coated retrievers. And he said, now you look at that dog right there. And he said, don't you ever, ever forget it. And he says, we don't need to look at any other dog in here. He said, it's not going to serve you a purpose other than you imprint that in your mind. And whenever you go in the ring, that's what you strive for. And you'll never have to worry about it. And to this day, I carry that with me. And it's the same with every other breed. I think that as long as you see one great one, you're okay.
I agree with that statement. And I think about it now, I think about the new judges up and coming that actually miss those generations of dogs. And I wonder what dog is in their mind's eye for certain breeds they are going for or judging at the moment. No, but I have a whole bank of dogs in my head that I got to watch over the years. And I feel fortunate that we're basically the same era. And I feel fortunate that we got to see those dogs, because it's hard to see them now. I look at some breeds now and I think about, go back to Mr. Eldridge. What would he do now if he saw his breed? I don't know. But I'm sure you have the same way.
Yep. No, I totally agree. But, you know, and quite often, at least in my breed, in Golden Retrievers, you know, that one, I mean, you know, people say, well, it's such a hard breed to judge. And I go, no, it's not. It's just that it's really hard to find one that I can say, put that in your brain and don't forget it. And that's what you're striving for, because you can judge 100 and you're not going to find that. Or the one that's in there that doesn't look like anything else in the ring is intimidating to the novice eye, and they don't have the fortitude or the strength and their commitment to point their finger and award it the win.
I consider myself lucky up here I was growing up and showing dogs. I got to watch Judy Taylor and Jen McCauley, and I got to get that imprint in my head of what they made me look at and understand. That's why when I watch the breed now, it is a struggle. It is a struggle. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. It's funny. I was just the one thing about this whole, the requirements for judging. There's a silver lining to it in a sense that, I was able to, and through Zoom technology, I just came off of being mentored in the Oswalks, and a gentleman by the name of Patricio, who they breed the best ones in the world from Italy, and I was able to participate and see, and I was afforded an opportunity to see one great one. I mean, stunning. And now I have that in my mind, and it's imprinted, and now I have something to strive for, where prior to this, I would not have had that opportunity. So the learning process does continue, but like you, I still believe it just takes one great dog.
Is there a certain judge that mentored you at all?
Several of them. And I think that, different judges for different things. I think that, Annie was very useful when I first started judging on tips of the trade and ring management. And, she always told me, she said, more often than not, you're going to have a class of 7 to 8 dogs in there and you don't really like any of them and you can't judge them on virtues. She said, don't bury yourself in the hole trying to find something good. She said, you need to stop and reverse judge. Look at the 7 and say, okay, which one's the ugliest one? You put that over there. Okay, now which one's the ugliest one? You put it there. And then when you get done, you just go 1, 2, 3, 4. So that was that. And then the other person who really was a dear, dear friend of mine, and I miss him every day. He's in my heart, and that's Dr. Jones. Don Jones was a dear friend of mine, and he was always, even when I was in junior handling, he was always gracious and kind, and he was born a mentor, an educator, and to this day, I remember the first time I met him, and our friendship lasted and spanned decades. And when I started judging, one of my first assignments was an international assignment with Don. And every week we would talk and he would ask me about shows, judging, well, what did you find? And we would discuss details, and a true friend and mentor, and I miss him dearly.
He was always fun to show to. I always enjoyed showing to Don. He came up here quite a bit. We got to see him a lot. Anything else you want to add about judging?
Well, I think that people take themselves a little too seriously when they get in the ring, and I always say I'm not one. I can't stand. Even though I'm a fairly friendly guy, I don't care for this whole social aspect. I mean, I love to talk dogs and breed specific conversations, but it's just a dog show, and I think that, go in and do the best job that you can based on, hopefully, a rich understanding of the breed you're judging. And always be mindful that your decisions should be based on moving breeding stock forward and not based on what's going to look good in the group ring and maybe go best in show. And I've to this day, every breed that I judge, I want to make sure that I judge it as a breeder judge. And that's my focus.
Where's our sport going after this pandemic, Michael?
Well, I'm a total optimist, so I truly believe that we're going to evolve and we're going to be bigger, better, and stronger. And I think that we have to be cognizant of the variables that we have to consider for safety and consideration of fellow exhibitors and judges and kennel club members. But we're going to weather this, and I'm not worried. And I think that it's been, I hate the fact that people have lost income, and we've had to slow down, and people are struggling. And but I think through and through, I think there's going to be a newfound appreciation and respect for things that were taken for granted. And I don't think we'll come back bigger and better.
That's a very positive response for us. Do you have a timeline? Any ideas when you think the show is?
Yeah, I think that, I know there's an upsurge, but I think even in the state of Virginia, we're in phase two. And I think that through the fall, I think there's going to be shows. I mean, I know that I have a show in August that I'm judging in Greensboro, North Carolina, that hasn't been canceled. And then I have shows that are a go in September. And they haven't been canceled. And then I have shows in November, and they have confirmed with me that they have gotten the approval to hold those shows. So I think that it's going to move forward, and it's going to be based up to each individual state, and we'll see how it goes.
Good. That's a good note to end on. I really appreciate this, Michael. Thanks for taking the time, and I know you're busy. So thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again, Michael. That was a great conversation. I hope you all enjoy what we're doing here. And if you do, don't forget to press like, share, and subscribe, and that little notification button, too. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at dogshowtips@gmail.com, or you can check out our website at willalexander.net. Until next time, guys. Talk to you soon.